Hello and welcome to our podcast, Helping Your Clients Get a Jump on 2020 Benefits Planning, hosted by Employee Benefit Advisor and sponsored by Equitable. I'm Jennifer Lipto with the Employee Benefits Research Team, and today I'll be speaking with Brent Bennett, Executive Vice President and Employee Benefits Practice Leader at Hub International. To set the stage, I want to share that in 2019, Equitable partnered with Arizon and Employee Benefit News to conduct a survey among HR professionals on the topic of benefits technology integration. The results really helped to highlight the many needs of employers when it comes to benefits planning and benefits technology, and point to the tremendous opportunities for brokers to take a leading role in supporting their clients in these ever-changing areas. I'd like to welcome Brent to the podcast and get his take on how brokers can help their clients start planning for the 2020 benefit season earlier rather than later. Hi, Brent, and welcome.
Hey, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Wonderful. So the first question that I want to ask you is, what are you doing personally to educate yourself on the latest in benefits trends and technology as you head into another benefit season?
Yeah, so thanks for the question. This is pretty timely just because so many of our clients are 1-1. So this is the type of year where we just wrapped up fourth quarter, wrapped up, 70 or 80% of all of our open enrollments happened Q4. So that was a great time to kind of reflect on that and have action plans for next year. So in terms of the question on what are we doing to not only keep up, but try and be proactive for next year, one of the best things about our business is we've got a front row seat at some of the best run companies in America. And oftentimes it's not just us bringing ideas to our clients, it's our clients come up with ideas that we share, best practices with other people. And so, being part of Hub International, we've got, tens of thousands of clients all across the country. And so we get together. In fact, I just got back from one of our groups, our EMT meetings in New Orleans, where we have our practice leaders get together. And part of that presentation is sharing best practices, not only, what worked well, but what didn't work well, what's backfired, what's some technologies, what are some wins, specifically to different types of industries and different types of, say generations, right? Your Gen Y versus Gen X versus the millennials, and really have kind of a multiple pronged approach in terms of communication.
That's excellent. And I think that's really useful for brokers to be thinking about in terms of, what they should be doing themselves to make sure that they're looking at what their clients are doing and that they're educating themselves. And so sort of as an addition to that and as part of that, how are you helping your clients evaluate their benefits technology sort of following open enrollment of, the ones who are on a calendar year and helping them be set up for a successful benefits year?
Yeah, so part of that, as part of Hub International and just our local office here in Utah, we're big believers in having a benefits plan or multi-year strategy rather than looking at open enrollment as an event, looking at as an initiative and having a very strategic plan. I mean, I really believe and hold heart of, the quality of your life is dictated by the quality of your communication. And I think that holds true to benefits. We have a lot of clients that, the feedback they get from their employees or they look at their benefit package, they want to do benchmarking as we're talking with the prospects, being like, gosh, our competitors are maybe have better benefit plans. And as we look at them, oftentimes they don't, right? They're spending the same dollars. They have every bit as rich a benefit plan. They're just not doing a good job communicating that to their folks, or they're spending, 20 or 30 minutes a year, maybe an hour a year doing, communication about open enrollment and not making it kind of initiative throughout the year. And so one of the biggest changes that we've done, over the last, I would say 2 years, is really working with our clients to set goals. So we have what we call a pre-renewal meeting. So we set, let's say if January is their renewal date as an example, we typically are getting together August, September, and really setting goals. As an example, as we look at a lot of our risk-based plans or self-funded plans, our HSA or health savings account just tend to run better. People have more skin in the game. They tend to be better consumers. And so we see the loss ratio is a little lower on HSA plans than we do a traditional plan. And so, one of the things that we set with a lot of our clients this year was goals. If they're, if that's 30% of our people are participating in HSAs, we maybe had a goal to try and get that at 50, to increase our HSA participation to 50%, a lot of that through financial incentives. And so we'll set a specific target goal as an example that let's get our HSA contributions or our HSA participation up to 50%, or maybe increase our contributions. We'll define what that is and then kind of put a financial strategy or an education strategy behind that. And then we'll have what we call post-renewal meetings. So if they're in January, we'll meet August, September, kind of set those strategies. play that into the communication and the contribution strategy. And then typically we'll meet, you know, we wrapped up for 1-1s, we got everything off to the care, and we're putting together kind of a post-renewal strategy with that multi-year, you know, here's what worked, here's what our goal was, here's where we actually landed, and then let's, you know, do we want to double down on that for next year? How did we fare out? And so putting very specific goals and objectives, you know, in terms of a measurable KPI that we can look at. And then second, putting the infrastructure, whether that's, you know, contribution or communication, behind that to accomplish the strategy and the measure it afterwards.
My question to you, sort of to follow up to that, is how do you overcome resistance to make sure that you're doing this sort of extended planning? Because sometimes employers are reluctant to do much until before the season. Are you finding success in overcoming resistance to sort of multi-year and or extended planning? You know, the intention, obviously, of reducing sort of the stress and the compression in the event and really making it more of a year-round activity.
Yeah, it really depends on the clients. And I say that from a standpoint, you know, size probably doesn't matter as much as culturally how they're driven. You know, I one of our mantras here is we really look at not just industry size, but we want, you know, high growth, culture driven companies. And so to your point, I would say, you know, about, you know, if we were to look at our block of business here in our Salt Lake office, we were at 350 clients. We really do multi-year strategic planning with about a third of those. And there's about two thirds of those clients, either because of size, they just feel like, you know, it's either they don't have the time and resources available to sit, you know, to sit and plan kind of a multi-year approach or a strategy outside of that year by year, or just from a cultural standpoint, they're just not that employer. Right? They just look at it and say, you know, this is certainly not a necessary evil, but they look at benefits, they have kind of a budget for benefits and don't want to spend, you know, here in our market, we have a lot of tech companies. And so I'd say in technology, you know, very low unemployment. Unemployment in Salt Lake City is less than 3% right now. And so not only having the benefits, but communicating them and really having some proactive strategies, not just to control costs, but probably more from a morale standpoint of letting the employees know they really care about them. What are they doing outside the box? I would say the HR folks, how we get that conversation, not only going, but where it resonates and they get excited about it, is really talking about making their job easier, right? From an HR standpoint, if we can help some of that communication, if we can help employee satisfaction increase, we see the results. We measure, we manage eligibility for a lot of our clients here, especially in the mid-market, kind of 100 to 500 market. And so being able to show them how we've moved the needle or moved the dial by maybe the contribution increasing and their turnover reducing, you know, giving them data-driven information that helps not only prove that, but I think more importantly, everybody has somebody to report to. And so from an HR standpoint, as an example, if there's objectives they're trying to get or a budget they're trying to get put in place, giving them the tools, giving them the benchmarks, establishing a budget in March or April for January gives them, you know, 7 or 8 months worth of runway for them to go back to their CFO, for them to have the conversations with their leadership team. And I think those are the clients that really resonate, that really get excited about it because they don't just see it as a time, you know, time away from their job and planning. They see us as, you know, giving them kind of turnkey solutions and data to be able to get their mission accomplished, which is, you know, have the CFO say yes.
That is a fantastic point and really speaks to another thing that we had spoken about earlier, which is the role of benefits in defining a company's culture and the importance of that. Can you talk a little bit about that from your perspective? Because I think that would be really helpful for brokers listening when they're speaking to their own clients.
Yeah, I mean, that's something, you know, we talk about that a lot. And frankly, that's one of the things that we struggle with. But, you know, right now, because unemployment is so low, we're seeing kind of a two-pronged approach is, you know, unemployment's extremely low. So HR folks and every company out there is fighting for talent, you know, to walk in the door and fighting for it to stay here. It also means employers are usually throwing dollars at people. And so, you know, this last year, despite unemployment being extremely low, we've probably had more turnover in our HR and our CFO. You know, in the relationships that we've had, we have 9-10 year relationships that have stayed there for years and years and years. And over the last 12 to 24 months, we've seen a lot of those relationships turn over where we're selling new to some of those clients. And so I bring this up really from a standpoint that, you know, we could have an HR person that we've, you know, had cultural objectives and really nailed it in, and somebody comes new and they're driving the same ship, but they have a different agenda. And so, you know, really talking and not just on, hey, here's what we're doing and here's our open enrollment, but kind of getting back into the core of, you know, let's go through your decision process. You know, where do you want to be in terms of, you know, do you want to be higher? You know, there's only so many levers that you can pull. Do you want to offer the best benefits out there? Do you want to offer average benefits? Do you want to offer more pay? And maybe we don't focus on benefits as much. And so many of our clients, you know, oftentimes, you know, they're a 30, 40, 50 man company and they're, you know, I don't want to say struggling to make payroll, but they haven't put a lot of strategic thought into where their benefits are outside of, you know, who's my biggest competitor and what are they doing. And so having some of those conversations, which we had a lot of those this last year, especially as some of the states have started to introduce paid family leave and things of that nature, you know, where in Utah, you know, here in Utah, probably like 30 to 40% of our employers offer disability policies, but yet they've got employees maybe in California, New York, Washington State, you know, where they're requiring disability be paid, they're requiring family leave. And a lot of employers are struggling with, you know, I've got 80, 100, 200 employees. I don't offer disability in my headquartered office, but we do for employees that are in these specific states because we're required to. And so culturally, that started a lot of conversation around, hey, there's, you know, there's only so many dollars in the pot. How do we divide that up? And does it make sense to maybe pull back? You know, as an example, with these IT companies, we had a lot of IT companies who were paying 100% of the health plan. And, you know, and then they get a budget crunch or they decide we want to offer some additional benefits. And we've, you know, really not only benchmarked, but come back and said, well, we love the idea of paying 100%, but in the employee's eyes, it's free. It's not free to you. You're spending $7,000-$8,000 a year. What if we pay 90% there, but now let's add disability and some of the other things that culturally are important to you. And that's how we pay for it. And the net result has been, you know, once employee has to pay $100 toward health insurance, which is pretty minimal, all of a sudden we don't have 90% participation. We have 75 or 80 and found out they were double covered somewhere. And so I just say that from a standpoint, I think, you know, you had asked earlier about benefits and how that strategy relates to your culture. I mean, benefits by default is a financial safety net for their employees. And so, you know, determining, hey, what is that financial safety net that we want to provide? And do we, you know, do we self-fund that through PTO? Do we provide that through disability? I think is a big conversation that brokers should be having, you know, with their HR folks.
I think that certainly ties into a lot of, you know, things that we've seen with research and other conversations we've had with brokers about the importance of that advisory relationship, you know, that really making sure that you're listening and you're communicating and you're finding what is going to work for them, because one size does not fit all. And to that end, I just wanted to wrap up with a final question on communication and the ability for what these firms are doing, what they decide on, how they're able to use technology and some of their different tech resources to make sure that they're communicating clearly, because you can have the best benefits plan in the world, but if you are not communicating what it is and what's involved, then you're really not getting credit with your employees. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we've seen, I mean, I think, you know, for our office in particular, and I, you know, I keep talking about us just because that's where, you know, my experiences come from. But for our office, all of our clients, I can't think of a single client that we manage benefits for that is not on a BenAdmin system or benefit administration platform. They're not on our platform, not all of them, but are on some sort of platform. So one is just the user experience has changed dramatically, especially when it comes to comparing, which is both good and bad. It's great for multi-state workforces because they have, you know, the employee or their spouse or whoever is in charge of the benefits for their respective family can get on at 10 o'clock at night, at 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever's convenient for them. The bad part of that is it's really lost in translation, and the ability for employees to understand what those choices are, I think, is diminished, right? I mean, we're getting higher participation on voluntary items than we ever have, because I think it's right there. It's very apparent. Employees know to the penny exactly what it's going to cost them, which is a huge asset for some of the BenAdmin and technology platforms. The bad part is there's very little, you know, in fact, we use an analogy, you know, the average person when they buy a cell phone spends about 3 to 4 hours researching what phone they should get, and typically spend about 7 to 8 minutes choosing what health insurance plan they should buy, right? And if you look at the dollars, you know, it's maybe $800 or $900 versus $12,000 to $15,000 a year. Huge disparity there on the amount of time and energy. And so, you know, it's not just having the BenAdmin platform, they want to, you know, one of the tools, you know, we don't use that with all clients, but we've started gravitating more toward that is video, right? Is the use of video through that of not just having, you know, here's the BenAdvent platform that you can select your products, but let's try and get a, you know, a 30 to 60 second video that explains what this is and why they would use it. And the more we can kind of humanize that or have storytelling, you know, rather than here's the features and benefits, but using a story to say, here's why this would matter. Here's, you know, Susie and what this benefit did for her, so that they, you know, so the employees can choose, you know, is that something I'm interested in, or is there not maybe applicability, or if I've got so many dollars, I'd rather put it here versus there. I think that's, you know, really where kind of, I don't say the future of our industry is going, is that wizard. I mean, you know, I've seen it on certain BenAdvent platforms. It's not universal, but I think having a decision tree for employees to say, here's my profile, you know, here's my income, here's my number of dependents, here's kind of my philosophy, and then having kind of some selections or wizards that help employees through there is really, really important. It's a little bit lacking in our industry. We've seen it, but as of right now, I'd say, you know, it's being done well, typically in person or over video. And I think that's, you know, kind of BenAdvent 2.0 that we're going to start seeing as some decision tools or aids in making some pretty complex decisions in a short amount of time.
And that is a really great look at what people are starting to do and what people should be thinking about, you know, as they're working with their clients going forward. Well, Brent, I would love to talk to you more about this, but we are out of time for today. Thank you so much for sharing your experiences and insights with us. There is a lot here for our listeners to hear about and learn about. To our listeners, for more information on the research and to access content on benefits technology, please visit the Benefit Technology Resource Center, hosted on the Employee Benefit Advisor website. Thanks again for listening, and thanks so much, Brent, for joining us.
You bet. Thank you very much.